As I begin my presentation, please, if there is something that I say and because of my accent you don't understand, don't be hesitant to ask again, okay? How did I get to be such an expert on this topic? Shortly after 9/11, my district president then, the Reverend Dr. Vernon Schilder, called me to the office and said, "Brother Nabil, would you be willing to put together something that we can teach the people of South Dakota?" Unbeknown to me that almost 16 years later, I'll be traveling all over the country doing the same thing. And so what I did is I gathered information. I did my reading of the Quran, which I have a copy of right here. And this will be the only source that I will quote when I give you quotation as far as that is concerned. And this one both in Arabic as well as in English, and I'm fluent in both. So I can speak with you in Arabic if you would like. But I don't think that would help you. I could, though. At any rate, let me just move my... And so I started doing this, and in order to really get to know the subject, I talked with people from seven different continents around the world, Muslims who have converted to Christianity, and others who have not, as well as my own research, my own family, and my home background, some of my classmates when I was back in Haifa. So that's kind of the background, how I started doing this, and it's continuing right now, and whenever I can get a book on the topic of Islam, I try to read it. And on the back, in the entryway of the hallways, there are some books and materials for you to take a look at. So let me just begin. I normally don't like to read, but I want to share some of these things with you just to set the tone for you. Islam is a rising tornado wind and a tsunami wave for which every Christian needs to be informed, prepared, and fortified. But what do Muslims believe? Is Islam a religion of peace? Why has Islam more than doubled in just 30 years from less than 500 million to almost 1.3 billion. Why is it the fastest growing religion in America, even in this postmodernism? Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I shall empower, equip, and enable you to show the only Savior, Jesus Christ, to the world. I hope that you can take what I share with you and use it in your life so that people might know what and why you believe as you do. Okay? Pastor Peter started with the wonderful words of Jesus, "Go into all the world, make disciples." Okay? Here are some things for you to think about. A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes. Mark Twain. Truth is not determined by majority vote. Let me repeat it. Truth is not determined by majority vote. Doug Gwen said this. Truth is a torch that shines through the fog without dispelling it. Claudius Helvetius. And another Nazarene said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness." His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. The next was heard on Paul Harvey on Thursday, July 26, 2007. Some public schools and universities in the U.S. are setting aside a prayer time for Muslim students and prayer rooms and extra recess times to pray and providing for ritual foot bath for bathing their feet before prayers. Why do I share that? Because in the schools, that is permitted for the Muslims, but it's not permitted for the Christians, for Bible studies, or others. In the English Standard Version of the Bible, the word love occurs 550 times. In addition, the word loved occurs 101 times. And there's other words beside love like chesed and grace and other which comprise this. This is in our book. In the Quran, whenever the word, not always, but almost always, whenever the word love is used in the Quran in this sense, God does not love the evildoer. Now, it's not always that way, but almost always. So probably about 97% of the Quran have the word love in the negative connotation versus positive. Ravi Zacharias shared these thoughts in his lecture on the uniqueness of Christ in history, and I would like to quote him. A song narrated by Ed Ames, chanted in an Eastern fashion, from the canyons of the mind, we wander and stumble blind, wade through the often tangled maze of starless nights and sunless days, hoping for some kind of clue, a road to lead us to the truth. But who will answer? Is our hope in walnut shells wound around the neck with temple bells, or deep within some cloistered walls where hooded figures spray in shawls, or high upon some dusty shelves, or in the stars, or in ourselves? Who will answer? And the chorus is like this. If the souls is darkened by a fear it cannot name, if the mind is baffled when the rules don't fit the game, who will answer? Who will answer? Who will answer? Notice, please, the specific nature of the question. He doesn't long for some abstraction or some dogma. He's not looking for a set of precepts to adhere to or some system that he can give an allegiance to. He is personifying the very source of his answer by saying, who has the right to be the answer to the many questions that are plaguing my mind? And he raises many questions. The name of Christ is the only one who claims in himself to be the locus, sum, and substance of what he said. Not only in what he said or did, but in himself. Every other religion in the world, whatever ism you're going to put at the end of that religion, okay? Whatever it is, every religion will say, this is the way. You got to follow this method or you got to do this thing until you meet the rabbi from Nazareth who says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Secondly, Peter, who denied his Lord three times in the yard of the high priest. If you remember, on Monday, Thursday, after they took Jesus and they dragged him like a criminal, and he is there with John and all the others, there was a pretty lady who says, you are one of them, you are a Galilean. No, 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 I don't know the man. Second time, the same, I don't know the man. And the third time, he denies his Lord. And then, of course, you know the story. Jesus looked at him and he wept. Fast forward after the resurrection. Peter is brought in front of all of these high priests, and they said to him and to John, this is from Acts 4, you cannot talk about Jesus. And what did he say? There is no name given among men by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. What would it change a man who is a coward to become so convicted and courageous to say, I don't care what you tell me. What would make that happen? Only one thing. He saw the resurrected Christ, and his life was changed forever. So it's very important for us. If you want to know the truth, ask the one who speaks the truth and say, I am. Not, I am the way to the truth. I am. Look at it in the Greek. Ego eimi. I am. Okay? Or in the Hebrew, anochi. All right.